Down in Mexico, ladies and gentlemen, that was the sweet tunes of Eric Lundquist bringing us in to the PGA DF Strategy Show. Who knew? The guy of so many talents. He's a scratch golfer. Sounds like a scratch guitar player as well. Ooh. Not going to lie. That is great. You don't find that many places around the PGA DFS industry, let me tell you, Eric. So that was great. Thank you for setting the stage. Of course, that was a tribute to our own James Taylor, not our own. I wish he would be. But some great tunes and always gets me in the right mood for this event. Just the song Mexico. Of course, we have a couple of other events that do come here. This one and that song just go hand in hand to me. But thanks to Prize Picks, the sponsor of the show. We'll talk about them for a second, Eric, because I've got two props lined up. And if you haven't been over to Prize Pick, check them out. Player prop based site where you pick 2 to 5 props on a variety of games. You can pick single game if you want to. And that's kind of what I'm going with of my theme today. And it's a 2-to-1 starting for 2 picks and can get all the way up to 10x your money with 5 picks. It's pretty great. Use promo code AWESOMO for a promo for a first deposit bonus up to $100. And today what I'm doing is I'm going to guess you're going to tell me that the Dallas Mavericks game and the Miami Heat game, they're not supposed to score that many points, right? Because Luka and Jimmy Butler both seem really low. I'm going to go against the grain and take the over on both those guys. 2-to-1 my money. Am I a fish for doing that today, Eric?
Jason, you have never been a fish ever. That's not your way. Looking at this Miami-Dallas game, it's you know, a 210 total. It's not a very high total, but it's still Luka Doncic and Jimmy Butler. And I will say Jimmy Butler has just played out of his mind to begin the season. You're looking at 27 points, 32 points his last two, but the Memphis one was in a blowout. He did that in less than 3 quarters of work. They won by 26. So I do like the over on Jimmy Butler. I think that that's a good call. He's just doing everything for this basketball team. Dallas, you know, there's not a whole lot of defensive resistance. I think it's more of a low total. Both these teams like to play slow compared to the grain. So definitely like the over on Jimmy Butler. Luka Doncic, I think, is about appropriate at 24.5. Yep. He's been struggling from what we would expect Luka Doncic to be here in the early going, but just fine kind of taking the, if you want to be looking at it, there are obviously two plays that are correlated. If the game shoots out a little bit more than we expect, yep, you know, both players, both stars being guys who go over, I think that that makes a lot of sense. So I don't mind those numbers as much. One guy that I will say I'm going to throw out here, I mean, Milwaukee is completely decimated here today. No Jrue Holiday, no Chris Middleton. I like 1.5 assists for Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. One of the beautiful things about playing over at Prize Picks is you don't have to get all of them right. If you play any of those flex play options, you can get one wrong and still get paid 2x if you play 5 props. You can still get, if you get 3 out of 5, you can still get 0.4x money back. So you're not just like in a sports book where if you don't get all 5, you're losing money there. So give me the over on 1.5 assists for Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. Think that they're going to have to be playing with the ball in their hands a little bit more than what you might expect. So I think both of those look great.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I like that about get 3 of 5 right, 4 or 5 right. You're still going to make some money there. So go check out Prize Picks. And of course, check out our NBA shows. They're going to be following us right after. We've got Lofty and Adam. Boy, he is on a heater right now. Don't miss that. The Deeper Dive. Man, that's going to be that. And then you and Greg are going to take us live before lock. So those are the NBA shows, NBA in full swing. I have seen so many screenshots. I'm not even kidding. The last few days, it is unbelievable. Clicking on all cylinders, even in the first week. And what we're going to do is we're going to get you clicking on all cylinders here this week in Mayakoba. It is now termed as the Worldwide Technologies Championship. And let me tell you, if you haven't heard of Worldwide Technologies, well, you still might not have, but they came on at the right time, Eric. They are sponsoring the strongest field that this course and event has ever seen. The course is El Camaleon. Sadly, it is a Greg Norman design. We don't know what we're going to get.
Sadly, as if Greg Norman is, I mean, Greg Norman is literally a fish. He's the shark, but I guess it's not technically a fish. You know what I mean, though.
Yeah. And the problem is that obviously he just signed on to be like the commissioner of the Super League. So who knows what that's going to do to playing at his courses. Nonetheless, a par 71, 7,100 yards, and it's a resort course. Does that sound familiar to you at all?
Oh, I mean, it does sound familiar. I mean, it's we've been playing a lot of resort courses in this fall swing. Sure. We just got done playing one. We had another one that's coming up. We've got resort courses on resort courses on resort courses. Speaking of which, I will be gone heading to Kapalua, another resort course. Well, we will be jumping and starting in January.
Wait, you're going?
To Kapalua for my honeymoon. Yeah. Oh, playing dude. At Kapalua Plantation course. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pretty stoked. And the bay course. Played both.
Yeah, I did that trip, and it is the most – it's the most amazing place on earth, I got to be honest. I went for the event, and I went to play it. You're going to love it, dude. It's amazing. We won't talk about Kapalua. We're not trying to make people jealous. We're not trying to do that on the show. So, again, like we said, our second resort course. Let's learn a little bit about the field coming down to Mexico here. 132 players. I mentioned strongest field ever. Some sponsor invites to talk about Thomas Dietrich. He's going to be in another category later, coming off a T22. Then we've got second week in a row, we've got one of these high-profile amateurs. This guy we've already seen in the fall swing and make a cut at the Sanderson Farms. It is Eugenio Lopez Chacara, number 8 ranked in the world. He's from Madrid, Spain. Actually, he's from another smaller town near Madrid. Somebody to look out for. Eric, have you heard anything about this guy? I know you and I like our Oklahoma State guys. We know that they're certainly not a dime a dozen. They are many a dozen at this point. Have you heard anything about him, though?
Yeah, he seems like he's a decent enough player. I mean, I'm not going to be beating the drum for him the same way that I was for Ekroat last week, but I think he's still a really, really good, fine player. It's going to be hard to get to him in this field. Last week is a completely different animal. I mean, yeah, you're talking about him being a prospective Ryder Cup member, somebody that could be one of the guys in the next couple of years that can kind of make some kind of a push. I think I'll probably go with some more known factors this week.
Willie Mack III has been a great story, actually, last year on the PGA Tour. He'll be going for 3 for 3 in cuts made. Now, the 2 for 2 that he's made, you know, 54th and 61st. Still, I know I can never make a PGA Tour cut. No chance. This guy's got some game. Is this a place for maybe to break through, or is the stage and field maybe still a little too strong for him?
God, I'm so arrogant because in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, if I could play in the Amex, if I could go to Palm Springs and play in a bubble, you know, like that's kind of my specialty. I'll shoot 8-9 under over 3 rounds. You give me that. La Quinta Country Club, I just absolutely love that place. Played a lot of amateur events there, and it's been really, really good to me. But I'm also not arrogant. I know how good these guys are. They're way better than what anybody thinks that they are. Just follow Monday Q Info on Twitter, and you will know what I mean. This guy making 2 cuts, yeah, congratulations to him. So well done. If you're looking for a pure punt in like a cash format or whatever else, I just don't see there being a lot of upside for Willie Mack. Again, this is a field that's just different than what we've been dealing with this entire fall season, where other than the no cut where in Vegas, where you had a number of the top players in the world getting that guaranteed paycheck, this is the first time you're seeing a field that's top heavy. And I think when you have a field that's top heavy like this, and then you've got a great mid tier, I mean, it's too strong of a field for me to try to make that a play.
Understandable. Guido Migliozzi is also here getting the sponsor invite, as did Thomas Dietrich 2 weeks in a row for those two guys. And then the other 4 sponsor invites were local Mexican players. I don't recognize them except for Roberto Diaz. He's a guy that's kind of bounced around the 2 tours. Any names that you mentioned before we move on to some of the guys that are coming in hot this week?
You mean the guys who might actually want to play? I mean, I look down on the bottom end. I mean, Trey Mullinex is a guy that I've wanted him to be a thing. Will Trey Mullinex ever be a thing? I don't know. But a top 4 at Sanderson Farms, I'm willing to go down there. He's 6,100. That was like my cheapie that I really saw that really stuck out to me. Somebody.
No, I just meant the sponsor invites. I didn't mean Trey
Mullinex. Oh, the sponsor invites. No, you had Guido. Oh, okay. Guido. No, the sponsor invites.
We'll get to Trey. Don't worry. We'll get to Trey.
I put in so much prep. I assumed you were just talking about basement dwellers right from the get-go, and that's kind of where we were going. We're professionals. We were preparing very much before the show. As you can see, lots of discussions. As far as the sponsors guys go, I'm probably going to have like maybe a couple shares of Thomas Dietrich, and I really don't want anything else. Guido, I like in some of those shorter field events where it's like you think the talent can possibly win out. I don't really need to take that shot this week.
I think that makes a ton of sense there. Okay. Now, if you do want to learn about some of the other plays, if you will, that Eric's going to have down below, like Trey Mullinex, as we mentioned, a couple of others, our pro place is a great tool to use that, and it's part of our premium product. And of course, if you want to learn a little more of our premium product, well, our PGA rankings are free today, as are our player projections for NHL and player rankings for NBA. So 3 different sports all have a free premium tool today. And of course, if you want the whole enchilada, all of it, then join our premium today. Get 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum using PGA Strategy Show as your promo code there. Now, let's talk about the sun. It is so hot down there in Mexico, and we've got some players that are coming in playing some great golf. The top three, though, Eric, that I want to mention to you, all have top end consistency right now. No missed cuts, but maybe no wins either. Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland, Tony Finau. Now, actually, Finau does have that win. He's the only one, but all of them all playing really good golf. So how are we going to differentiate between those guys this week?
Well, it depends, because for me, a lot of these are just going to be where we don't have a lot of recent form to be drawing on. This is kind of the slow season for the top players in the world. They play in something where there's a no cut. They play in things that have a massive paycheck at the top like this. They can be a little bit more selective with their schedules. It's not like Justin Thomas has anything that he needs to be really emphasizing to go play here at the moment, but Justin Thomas is Justin Thomas, makes a ton of birdies. I did talk a little bit about how I think getting bones on the bag might be a good thing for him. The one characteristic that we've just been waiting for is the putter. And if a caddy can help him read putts, Phil Mickelson seemed like he was pretty good at putting for the course of 20, 25 years of his career. But I'm thinking that he's somebody that just is kind of due for some of this positive regression in the putting department. I'm not concerned about him long term. And so I think you want to kind of be early on getting to some massive shares of him. Hovland and Answer and Finau, I think just at sub 11K are going to be looked at as easier builds to kind of go a little bit more balanced. You can get one of them and then pluck out of the 8K, 7K section and make a really, really nice lineup. But for me, I just prioritize Justin Thomas all the time. He makes tons of birdies. That's great for DraftKings scoring. He's somebody that I expect to have a better season than he had last season. It was very, very frustrating. He's always treated me really well. You can kind of tell when you need to be rostering him. Last year was kind of the time where the putter just disappeared. And so I'm expecting that thing to regress. So give me all the JT again this week.
Yeah, honestly, it's exactly where I'm leaning as JT this week. This is the longest stretch of golf we've seen him go since he's had a win. It's just been about 9 months since the Players win in March. And if you look back to 2017 when he had his breakthrough, he had a win basically every 3 or 4 months. He was piling them up. A lot of those wins came outside of the country, which is, you know, and in the fall swing, kind of a couple narrative-based plays there that, you know, I'll just throw at you. But again, JT, love it. Now, how about we've seen him go 59 at the Sony Open round one. We've seen him get off the hot starts. Are you one, if you're going to play JT, you're also going to bet JT, say, first round leader and through the board, or is 12-1 too short for a tournament win?
It depends. I've never been somebody who went and bet short. I bet JT 20-1 at TPC Sawgrass with, I think, everybody, awesome. Or the players. So yeah, at TPC Sawgrass. Yeah.
Yep.
With every other person on planet Earth. That was fun. That was a universal win, but it's very rare.
I love that.
Yeah, I love universal wins. That's what we're here for, is we're trying to help everybody win alongside us. And sports betting is how you're able to do that. So,
hey, and I can do that now legally in my state. Did you know that?
You can. You can. Florida, welcome. Congratulations, California.
I don't know how long, but yeah. I don't know how long I'm going to be here for, to be honest. But
well, I think when taxes speak a lot, so we'll see. I think, look at New Jersey. I mean, it's outrageous the amount of revenue they're garnering. That's a different conversation for a different show. Hi, everyone.
Let me ask you about Victor Hovland again. Okay.
Yes.
A great industry. Rick Rungood had him on his podcast, and I listened to it, and it was a great interview. Hovland is awesome, man. He's just got such a great personality. And he talked about missing the cut on the number twice at Mayakoba before winning. And he said, look, missed cuts aren't always made equal. And it just kind of affirmed my feeling that, you know, somebody can bomb the cut and probably not a great fit. Somebody that misses on the number, however, likely just had a bad break go their way, or the putts weren't falling. So really cool to hear his interesting perspective. Said this course sets up super well for him. He peppers greens and fairways, obviously a recipe success. So does Abraham Answer, who's coming in pretty hot, but has a missed cut there at the Shriners, does he get over that blow up, or do you want to go to him instead of Hovland in this situation? Because it sounds like you and I are going JT. We're not going to be able to get all four of these guys. It's just not going to happen.
It's fascinating. I think I probably do like Hovland, but I think everybody's going to kind of like Hovland up there as well. Abraham Answer coming to the next guy there, obviously home event for him. You know, the Mexican contingent, I don't know what the fan situation is going to look like there. It looked very different last year. You know, I don't know what it is, but I just know that he's definitely going to be the guy that everybody's cheering for there. He's an absolute stud, Iron Especial. We all know that. But Victor Hovland, my God, another guy. Put him. I'm just going to roster the worst putters in the world this week, and I think we'll just see where all the chips fall. I think I'm going to have a lot of both of those two at the top, and I think there's just enough balance here because I'm not intrigued by the next tier. We have to talk about them in relation to Finau, Hatton, Horschel. I mean, yeah. I really have no desire to play any of those three. And I know Finau, you're talking about being the guy who had the win at the, you know, he finally got on the board there. Towards the end of the season, he was putting himself in contention for the win there. The Northern Trust played really well at the Ryder Cup here and there, but Tony Finau, we haven't seen him for enough amount of time here. I'm just not super enthusiastic to be rostering him this week.
Yeah, price kind of dictates that. Now, our buddy in chat, Tokyo Swan on TS, I mean, this guy's on a run. He nailed Herbert last week. He loves Billy Ho. He's a Billy Ho guy, or he's talking about it in chat right now. You have no interest to 10-1 this week, I could tell.
Zero.
Yeah, I figured.
And now, hey, here's the thing. Yeah. Billy Ho is the guy, went over, won the BMW, played great for all intents and purposes. He had that clutch, you know, a wedge shot that he hit and stiffed it there after, you know, it's the easiest hole in the golf course. 18 is there. Is it Royal Wentworth? Is that the name of the golf course they played the BMW Championship? Yeah, yeah. Again, I bet that event. I did not bet Billy Horschel in that event. I can tell you that, but he's somebody that can have some potential here. That field was a lot worse than this field is. I'm just throwing it out there.
10-1 is a steep price to pay, especially when you've got guys, say, like Brooks Koepka, who's cheaper. Now, weird thing about Koepka, there's no top-end form here. He's playing a lot in the fall. I don't know what's going on. I mean, his girlfriend has to love this resort for them to want to come here. or fiance now? I think it's fiance. Whatever it is. What do you make of Brooks Koepka being here? Just, it really doesn't seem like a good fit. He's not a Victor Hovland.
I just don't want to play Brooks Koepka either. Again, we're going to talk about, I have like distinct tiers of this golf tournament where it's JT Hovland, a little bit of answer, and then it drops below 10K. I don't think I'm going to have any other shares. And I mean, I'm talking about like in 150, I might have one or two, but I'm legitimately not going to get to 5% of any of those guys, Finau, Hatton, Horschel. I'm going to be going elsewhere. It's just so top heavy with those top three compared to the rest of the 10K range. And then I think there's just so many intriguing upper 9K options. Scheffler, Wise, Reed coming off of showing up and having a pulse. That was enjoyable to see. Depends who you ask. He's not everybody's favorite golfer. No. But he was the only guy I played that was expensive last week. And then Matt Fitzpatrick down there at 8K coming off of last week and just, you know, not really existing. I'm pretty excited about the rest of the 9 and 8K ranges. So yeah, the 10K range is going to be a casualty outside of those top three.
Scotty Scheffler, a tweet was going around yesterday, shot 58 on a home course or another course, not this one. I can bring up a couple more times where we've seen this. Joel Damon did it at his home course in Arizona a couple weeks later, played pretty good in an event. He wasn't great by any stretch, but made the cut. Harry Hall shot 59 before coming in eighth at the Shriners. Somebody paid off that. So what I'm asking you is, if a PGA Tour player breaks 60, not in the event, does it matter to you at all?
Okay. No. I shot 61 last month and in Ojai at Seoul Park. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to be on tour anytime soon. I suck. You know, like I'm good for amateurs. I suck compared to PGA pros. You know, again, I want to, as a golfer, you want to be arrogant enough to say, hey, I can compete or do whatever else. But everything is dependent on so many situations like this golf course, Seoul Park in Ojai. It's the best deal, best value on planet Earth. I'm just telling you right out. I joined the men's club in the middle of the pandemic. It was the only golf course. I drove an hour, 10 minutes, no traffic on the 101. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Ojai, California, one of the most beautiful places ever. I know people hate my golf stories. I don't really care. But you talk about guys, you know, like you can go low. You get hot with a putter one day. You play a golf course that has four or five par fives that are just 520 yards. Who cares?
You can get hot with the putter. So that begs the question, Scotty Scheffler versus Aaron Wise this week.
Who cares? I okay. So, but now you're asking the question that matters.
That's the legit question. Yes.
Aaron Wise. Okay. I love Aaron Wise. I mean, Ben Ross has just been riding high with this. I mean, scoring over 94.5 DraftKings points now in the last three, over 94.5 DraftKings points, four of his last five events. That is some production we can get behind. It's hard for him to really go out and burn you. If you're playing single entry, if you're playing a bunch of three max stuff, hard not to want to throw Aaron Wise and his consistency in a lineup. Now, there's a lot of opportunity cost on this golf tournament compared to other golf tournaments we've had in the fall swing where it was like, hey, close your eyes, throw it at the dartboard and see what happens. But this one, I'm kind of looking at the class of it. Scottie Scheffler is fantastic as well. Aaron Wise, I love both of those plays on the top end. But congratulations to Scottie Scheffler shooting 58 on a golf course that, you know, if it was 7,500 and, you know, he was out there in some wind, he shot 58, you know, like Jim Furyk in Chicago that year, you know, we'll maybe give him a little bit of a bump there in the projections. But otherwise, you know, it's one of those things where if you go deep, you go deep. And it's usually a result of like one super hot putting day and that's it.
So we've got you mentioned Wise over Scheffler. I'm with you there. Wise has given us so much more. And I think long-term potential, I think Wise has always kind of been maybe just a peg up on Scheffler, but Wise has not obviously seen the consistency results as Scotty has. And that's one reason, Eric, it's because of the putter. Scotty can get hot with it. Aaron has not shown us the ability quite yet to do so. Although the broomstick style putting has been better for him, much better. It's allowing him to really actually utilize his one of his best iron play in the game. Patrick Reed, you mentioned coming off of a hot second, as is Matthew Wolf. Of those two, who would you rather click first?
I mean, I'm so biased against Matt Wolf, even though, so it's weird because I have my Southern California crew that I just love, and Matthew Wolf is a stud, but Matthew Wolf, we've seen be irrational. And again, Matthew Wolf, I liked him at the Shriners. I said that was a golf course that he just got done playing really well at. He played well there the year before. Horses for courses, baby, a little bit of that. And I'm probably not going to go there. I think Patrick Reed, if healthy, is just way too underpriced. At 9,500 for him, he could be somebody that could be.
He should be Billy Ho.
He should be
Billy Ho.
Flip him and Billy Ho. Flip him and Brooks Koepka. I mean, it makes way more sense. We just saw him get a second. Again, part of that is the long-term form has not necessarily been there, but I prefer him to both of them straight up. So if I'm going to do that, I should probably like have some interest in 9,500.
Shane Lowry is mixed in among all these guys, and he's a no touch for me at this event. I don't see it. I would rather go down to Matt Fitzpatrick, who I also don't want to play because he seems like he's going to be one of the most popular plays this week. And while he's in good form, if a profile like Victor Hovland is what it takes to get it done here, Matt Fitzpatrick is maybe the polar opposite of Victor Hovland. Maybe could we find two golfers further apart on a talent level scale and how they get it done? I mean, we might be able to, but they're pretty far apart. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, pretty far apart. I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick hits the ball nowhere except for his story about hitting it 240 into the wind. I'm like, 240 is still pretty far if you're hitting it into a 30-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, I agree.
Go to South Dakota sometime and let me know how it goes. Or, you know, back we played the Harvester at Iowa State, which is like our home course there. It was out in the middle of a freaking goat field. It's beautiful, incredible golf course. But God, it would blow 30 and I'd smoke a driver and it would go 210, 220. Because you get into a real actual win, it's gone. It gone.
All right. A couple more guys that I want to talk about in the playing pretty good golf and their son. Well, obviously the sun is always so hot. Ricky Fowler. Okay. I'm going to draw a couple of parallels to his buddy Jordan Spieth. Misses the cut at the Shriners, but misses on the number. Parallel to Spieth, misses the cut at the Farmers, but was on the number. Saw signs of encouragement, really was the putter in both instances. The next event for each of them, Fowler comes out T3, almost wins the CJ Cup. Spieth almost wins the Waste Management, comes in T4. Now, Fowler, you know, goes to Japan the next week, probably not ideal, right? After you've had your first good start, you got to fly all the way to Japan. Now a week off, come to Mayakoba. We've almost won here. 6% ownership. Am I doing it again to myself where I'm a week late, basically? Or are you in agreement with me? It seems like a good spot to play him again.
It's a good spot to play Ricky Fowler. I don't want to say it too loud because I don't feel confident about it, but you got to start making some stands some places. And again, Ricky Fowler is starting to show something. He's starting to have a pulse again. I don't really know what else to say other than I like him. I like Maverick McNealy. I like Alexander Norin. I love this little mid 8K range. Do I feel confident about any of them? Yeah, about as confident as you can. I prefer them to your boy Christian Bezuidenhout. I would say that as well. Those mid 8Ks, I'm a fan of. But I'm you're going back to Christian, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't want to get burned again by I played Ricky at Shriners, didn't play him at the CJ Cup, comes in T3, where Bezuidenhout, I played him last week, T57, you know, and now comes in the top five this week. We'll move on to our next section. That's what it is. These golfers.
I think the right conversation before we move on, the right conversation to have is, what do you think the winning score this week is?
Yeah, I would probably say, now I haven't checked Wint. I was actually going to check that a little later. Have you checked it? Has our chat checked it? Normally, I'd hear if it was going to be bad.
Normally you would have the buzz and you would understand by now. I think it'll be lower than what we probably think, which I think favors Ricky Fowler. I guess that's kind of the right point with him, is that I would rather play him at a spot where you need to shoot 64, 65, two out of four rounds, something like that. Yep. Because I think that he makes a better play in those kind of circumstances. If it plays tough, Ricky Fowler has that one round of golf, and we've seen it over and over and over again, where he shoots 77 and just kicks himself
Japan's
in the foot.
Japan's kind of an example. Dead. Yeah, he did basically nothing in Japan. It was a lower score, you know, I should say higher score event in what we're talking about. So,
But it's not just 2 week sample size. I mean, this is something we've seen routinely in Ricky Fowler's career, outside of making. And this is a guy who finished top three at four consecutive majors 1 year. So he can play well under difficult circumstances, but his wins and his best play has always happened, I think, on easier golf courses.
Agreed. All right, the next section, titled Sounds So Sweet. Some of these golfers, they may sound like they have a good fit this week, but we're going to dive in a little bit and find out maybe if they're a little bit overhyped or overpumped. First guy I want to talk about is Willie Z. I think he's got great talent. I don't want to take that away. But, Eric, we haven't really seen anything outside of the 61, which you suggested really anybody could do at Shriners. I mean, it's an easy golf course. So 9-1 for Willie Z, it's a continue to avoid, correct?
Yep.
Pretty simple. Moving on, yep. Sergio
Garcia. We're chasing a Masters. Everybody's chasing a Masters performance, and this is something that happens. I think I'm doing it in NBA right now with a guy named Jordan Awara, and I'm going to do it again today. Very excited, very painful. He's a backup for the Milwaukee Bucks. Had an amazing first game out of the gate. I feel like I've chased him and his points from that first game for like six consecutive games, and you get in the habit of doing it when somebody plays well at a Masters. They really stick out on the page. If you go over to PGA.com, I always think it's like a fascinating first read. I really don't read anything into it. But if you go to PGA.com, they do the power rankings. And I would say that Willie Z, I've disagreed with him being placed in like every single one of these. You know, they have decent enough golf writers there. I think Rob Bolton is the guy who does the main article for them over there. And always a good read to kind of see, who might public people be kind of looking at. Billy Ho was number two there. I started chuckling, but I will say that Willie Z didn't even make the list. And this has got to be the first golf tournament I can remember him appearing in forever, where he didn't even make the list of top 15. I'm curious where the rostership ends up coming in on him at 9,100, because right now we've got him around 10%. I would be shocked. Like, I would be shocked if people wanted to play him in that form, but that just tells you the recency bias of somebody who plays well in a major that everybody watches. And they're like, oh my God, he's 9,100. He's a better player than that. And then you look at the box score, not really that much better player than that. The WGC St. Jude, I mean, he has these random spike putting weeks, but now we're starting to see some issues around the greens here and there. I'm going to be a pass.
Sergio Garcia, I think, fits a little of that same boat as Willie Z, kind of hidden in some bad form, mixed in with a couple of good starts. A couple of other guys in this range that may, look a little bit better than what they seem. Taylor Gooch, Cam Tringale. I think they're going to be popular in that 9,000 and 8,900 range. If you had to pick one of those guys, Tringale's playing good. I say if he's over 9K to fade him, he's not. He's 8,900. So I'll have a little. Taylor Gooch gets his highest price of maybe his career.
Yeah, that's got to be. I mean, he's good. So
he's playing great golf, so he deserves it.
I like Taylor Gooch. I how early have we been? We've been rostering him every single time. I'm not going to avoid. So you can play chalky players so long as you don't play a lot of chalky players around them. And it's not like he's mega chalk over 20% or anything. There's a lot of people in this range. Cameron Tringale always gets a ton of attention by DFSers. He paid off at the Sanderson Farms, didn't even finish in the top 10, put up 108.5 points. He didn't burn anybody there for sure. Played phenomenally well. Shriners, everybody went deep, so it's a little bit inflated as far as those DK points go. But I prefer Taylor Gooch. I will continue to prefer Taylor Gooch. I just think he's a really, really good player. I think he's my favorite of the three.
Okay. Russ Henley, Mito Pereira, Christian Poseidon, Hoot, round out kind of the golfers that I'm interested in the 8K range, or I felt other people would be as well. Pereira at 8,100 is going to be 9,000% owned probably by the end of the week. Again, I faded him last week at 10,500. It was the right play. He ended up coming in 30th, I think. 8,100, I'm definitely more intrigued this week. I don't know that I'm going to fully get there because we got Justin Rose and Joaquin Niemann right below them. Are you going to tell me Joaquin Niemann, his country mate, he's better than? No, I don't think you're going to tell me that.
I'm not. He's not better than Joaquin Niemann, but he's a good player.
He's a good player.
8,100, you think he's going to be crazy? I mean, he's a terrible putter. And so do we just – I'm going to just build a terrible putter group and just hope that it's a ball strike fest. No, I'm not going to do that. That's weird. That's about the only one skill set that I tend to not pair players by, just in the Ben Rossa school of – yeah, because – you know, you want to get some great putters, but, you know, great putters are going to play well at majors regardless, usually. When I think about it, I mean, Jordan Spieth, huh? Right. But thank God he's not in the field. We don't have to have this conversation, but I'm very much, that's why we're so amicable today. Yeah. But I like this lower AK range as well. I mean, Alex Noren and I talked about for a second there. I was giving you a little bit of crap about Bezaden Hood. I might have a couple shares there, but Mito really does make sense. You said 8,000%. Right now we have him right around 10%, I think is the number. Okay, I do expect expect that to go up. Russell Henley is the guy who's getting a ton of attention, and I love Russell Henley. He's one of my boys, but I'm not going to be playing him at 22.4%. I think I can find other places to go. I mean, that's legitimately making him the second most rostered player in this field. Yeah, I think he's very underpriced, but I think there's so many players in the 8K range where it's like, I can just get a 10% ownership discount going to them as opposed to Henley. So I'm just going to probably do that.
Joaquin Niemann, again, it's not like he's playing that bad of golf. 7,800 seems like one of the worst prices of the week, or best values if you want to look at that. Justin Rose, 7,900, always an interesting talking point. Ben and I, when we do our shows together, we used to battle about him. Actually, on the same side, we'd battle basically against him because we would never know when he's going to come to play and when his back is going to flare up. That's what you get with aging Justin Rose, but two of the last three in the top 10. So 7,900 this week in Mayakoba, a place for you to go ahead and play Justin Rose, or are you still not so much?
What's going on with his off the tee game? I don't
he's
get
trying
it.
To hit the ball too far, and he's, you know, 48, he's Tom Brady age, you know, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, you got to just have 11.7 strokes gained putting like he had at the PGA. 11.7 strokes gained putting.
I love it.
To finish eighth. I love that so much. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Cause when you can just claw it and move it towards the hole, you just got to do it. Justin Rose, he's fine. I think it's a glaring number at 7,900. I'm surprised that he's sitting at 10%. But I do like Joaquin Niemann more. I do like Charlie Hoffman a lot more. So, yeah, I probably am not going to be doing that.
Yeah. Chat just asked when I'm going to be joining the Discord. Yeah, that I think that I might have messed something up there because.
Why do you hate us? Why do you
thought not, I already not hate was? Us? I thought I already was. And clearly I'm not. We're going to look into that after the show. Thank you for bringing
it's your first up. Day here at Osmo.com, isn't
it's
it,
my
Jason?
First day here at Osmo.com.
We literally have a channel where you can ask 50 million people how to get you into that thing.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. Seamus Power, however, is not an idiot. Playing pretty good golf. Last week, had some really good stretches. You like that segue? It was not bad.
yeah.
7,700 this week. You probably like him a little bit, I'd assume.
Love him. I just love Seamus Power here. I love 7K. This upper 7K range is just stacked. I mean, Justin Rose, Joaquin Niemann, Charlie Hoffman, Seamus Power. You could roster those four dudes, play freaking Justin Thomas, and you know, it's a cheapie. Call it a day. That's how you are going to collect money. Do not pass go. Do collect $200. That's what we're going for.
Pass go. Do collect $200. Rose, Niemann, Power, Hoffman. Really can't go wrong. And some other guys that are going to make everything all right, as James Taylor would say.
Love it.
Gary Woodland. I think it's time, dude. I really do. I think it's time. We saw a really decent start, climb into the top 10 last week. I've been waiting for him to break through. He did it once before and then regressed. I think it's here to stay. I'm willing to bet on it. 7,600, 6% owned. I think it's a good spot.
I was building out my course model. I didn't even think about putting Pebble in there, but also a Pebble US Open is a lot different than playing Pebble Beach normally. I don't know. Just as far as like a shoreline, it doesn't make any sense for me, the correlation, but I'm just pointing it out there. Gary Woodland has won a major. He is sitting down there super, super cheap. Generally been a lot better player than this. It has not been good. It's been very, very rough for Gary Woodland. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, basketball player extraordinaire, Gary Woodland. You know, he was the talk of the town when, you know, I was in the Big 12 and he just ran amok on everybody. So, you know, a guy that I want to cheer for, but I don't know how you roster him this week. I don't really want to do it. He played well at the CJ Cup. It was nice to see some signs of life there. 3M Open. I mean, he's playing in like the freaking 3M Open and finishing 11th there. I mean, that's there's really not a whole lot of positives
to drop that week.
Yeah, he was okay.
I think here's the problem. He came out of COVID and lost like 100 pounds. Changed his whole physique, not 100, but lost a significant amount of weight.
He lost a lot.
And then got injured because of it. And I think we're starting to come back. He's a guy that I believe in the long-term talent, and I think we saw a breakthrough. I don't know. I guess I'd rather roster him. And you know, Ben, if you're watching the show, you know, don't hate me for it, but I think I'd rather roster him over Griot this week, who does have some of the best.
I think I would too, but I don't want to roster either.
No. Who would you rather go to in this range? I'll give you a couple more names. Lucas Herbert, who we talked about last week, ends up winning. Ian Poulter, Johnny Vegas, Patrick Rogers, Varner Knox, all in this range. You say Poulter.
Poulter, Rogers, Vegas. God, I mean, this range is just stacked. The 7K range is a joke, how it's steroided out it is. It's really, really good. I like it very, very much. I think everybody is viable. I think there's a lot of win equity down here, too. I haven't looked. Other than like the top end of the board, I generally like to bet more long shots. I think that that's just kind of been a more tried and true way where you can find some value 40, 50 to one that can kind of pay off for your year. If you can kind of identify the weeks that the studs might not be as studly, which has not been the case in the fall swing season, but we've also lowered our exposure in betting. That's something Ben and I have talked about where you want to be aware of what the card looks like. You want to be transparent, and we just haven't found a lot of value here yet. And a lot of top tier players have come to fruition. Hideki, yeah, everybody exactly. Bet Hideki except for me. I'm so tilted by that, but this entire 7K range, Patrick Rogers coming off of looking really, really nice there at Bermuda, fourth there, 16 birdies and an eagle. Russell Knox, I think well, at least you won't be 50 million times. The Scottish flag has to be worth at least 10% of exposure for Russell Knox every single time it's windy. In windy conditions, DFSers are like, oh, I'm going to play a terrible putter, but he just stripes it and hits it low, and there we go. And it's like, oh, great. That's the narrative we're going to try every week.
He's got Willie Wilcox on the bag, too. I don't know if you know Willie, or at least
he does.
Bermuda. He did last week for the Bermuda. I don't know if he's keeping
I didn't even see that. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. A little cool
tandem. Will Wilcox.
A name that I wanted to bring up that has kind of snuck into this range or snuck down or been pushed down, however you want to term it, is Brian Harman. Now, he's a great putter, so I'm sure he's off of your docket, but the price given his play last year has to at least get you interested.
Yeah, I'm going to play some Brian Harman as well. There's, again, another guy who, you know, is my age, played at Georgia, 15 years old, wins a U.S. Junior Am at Chevy Chase, Maryland. When I was 15, he would have been like 17, 18. But absolute tiny little dude, just goes about his business and grind, is way better than what people think he is. Yeah. He's been really bad for the last 2 months, but we've seen some long-term form. I mean, you go back to this summer, fifth at the Travelers, eighth Charles Schwab, third at the Players, eighth at the Amex. I mean, the guy has the ability to go low in events you need to go low. He has the ability to be steady in events you need to be steady. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. I think you write off the last 2 months. He's had a little bit of time to maybe put it together. I'm going to take some shots on it. Again, it's not a super exciting roster. I think he's more of like a nice piece of a 150 portfolio than somebody that I want to have in like my one lineup to rule them all, one lineup to find them. So Brian Harman, 7,300, I'm fine with it.
So he's going to miss the cut this week. And in 2 weeks at the RSM at home, he's going to be 6,900. Yep. He's going to be 75% owned. Because
he's going to be 9K plus regardless of how he plays in this golf tournament at the RSM.
And then he's going to win. And that's
would you like to bet on that?
No.
Would you like to bet? Brian Harman will be 9K plus at the RSM. There's no way he won't.
I like that call. And he'll probably win because he'll miss the cut this week and nobody won. Anyways, that's my summation with Brian Harman. You asked me before the show, when we talk about Mayakoba, what's the first thing I think about? I gave you three other things than what it actually should be. And it really is the Matt Kuchar fiasco of tipping your caddy. It really brought this tournament to the forefront. Now everybody wants to come and play because they see how nice the resort is, and it is gorgeous. Hopefully we see some Justin Thomas and Zach Johnson heckling this week, but Matt Kuchar is actually playing better golf. So I don't think he'll be tipping his caddy less than 10% of his winnings, but will he have any winnings this week?
Yeah, I think he's rosterable. Okay. This is a Matt Kuchar resort course, like, specialty. Like,
it really is.
He kind of won that tournament out of the middle of nowhere too. I don't think he had any really good form.
Not great.
You know what? There are places we could check this stuff. That's what's so amazing is that I can find this Mayakoba. I think it was like 2019, wasn't it? Yeah. So OHL. Coming into it in 2018, before he won the OHL. Well, because that's what this was called originally. PGA, miscut. Northern Trust, 60th. 43rd Dell Championship, did not make the playoffs. This was his first event of the entire season. The Shriners, 57th in November. 57th. So that's what he had for form coming into this thing. Oh, ends up gaining 15.2 strokes total. OHL, W, first 2018. Then wins at Sony, wins at Waste Management. So maybe he did actually find something and went on a tear in 2019.
No way. I'm done with this guy. Kevin Streelman kind of went on a tear last
year. You just don't want to talk about him anymore.
Oh, God. I'm just so done with him. Kevin Streelman is coming in as the highest owned guy of the week. Can that get you to play him? I don't see it for Streelman. He had a good year last year. He's regressed. I don't want to play him.
Alex loves him.
I know.
He's popping in our projections.
I hate to go away from Boss Man. I really do, but I just don't like where Streelman's form is right now.
Okay. I'm going to have a little bit. Again, this entire range, we're going to do this. We're going to play. I'm going to have some lineups, I think, with two of those top end studs. I just started doing a couple of crunches here. I thought that it would make some sense to at least have a better idea of that. That's something I'm generally kind of against doing on a Tuesday, so I don't kind of like firmly fall into builds that I like, because I'm going to do some stuff based on ownership, especially when you're playing 150. But I'm looking at the bottom end of this 7K range, and yeah, I think you should be looking a little bit. I mean, what's Streelman's ownership right now? He's like 16%, I think, is what I saw. 16.5. Yeah, and he's just popping for the projections here at the moment. 7,200. I think it makes sense to have a little bit. I'm not like as vehemently against him as you, but I do get it. I think the conversation point is like, do you want to play him or do you want to play Varner more? Because both of them are garnering a bunch of ownership. And if you do anything else at this lower 7K range, you're probably cutting exposure.
So part of our video on demand series, thanks for this, Eric. I appreciate
you're welcome.
My top picks and fades for the fall swing. We break it into one. I have Harold Varner as one of my fades. I think that this golf course presents more penal off the tee than what he's seen. And that's been a struggle for him. The irons have been fire, but I think there's too many water hazards. There's basically a water hazard on every single hole. And I can guarantee you Harold is going to find a couple this week. And I think that's going to hurt his results. It has hurt his results here. So that's the theme I'm staying with. I would rather go with Russell Knox. I'd rather go Emiliano Grillo, Gary Woodland, all in the same price range.
Playing Paul Strikers. I think that we're really kind of identifying that as kind of the core build for you and me.
Yeah. Yep, for sure, which I think has worked out on this course. A couple of guys in the bottom of this range before we get on to my last category in our last 10 minutes is Adam Schenk, Matt Jones, Scott Stallings, Henrik Norlander, Joel Damon. I went fast, but all five of those guys have a top 10 in the fall or a top 15. Any of the five really stick out to you?
Damon. I like Damon Stallings. Nice as well. I
mean, Damon sat middle seat on a Southwest flight to Mexico. So does that change your mind?
What?
Yeah, Gino Bonali. Oh, God, I just butchered his last name. You know his caddy. Do you follow him on Twitter?
Yeah, he's hilarious. He's a funny guy.
He tweeted out Joel Damon sitting in the middle seat next to him on a Southwest flight. Head bobbing, sleeping and head bobbing. It was so funny. You got to go look at it if you haven't seen it. It's great.
Where do you come up with this shit as a narrative?
I love it. You love it.
Also,
that's why I come up with
it. It's just like, I'm going to go to data and tools. You can go ahead and take a ride down Narrative Street. I hope he didn't tweak his neck. If I roster him, he might.
Well, I mean, you should see it. It's bobbing. I mean, it's really bobbing out there. Okay, let's go on to our Mood So Bright, since it is pretty bright here on the show. Eric and I always bring a level of fun to it. But all of these next guys that I'm going to talk about, every single one of them, there's like 15, all are playing well or have played well at this golf course. So let's start up at the top of the list that I have. Brendan Steele, T3, coming from Japan, 7,000 flat. Got to think he's a little bit interesting. And Charles Howell, in comparison, has the best course history basically of anyone in the course, anyone in the field. So Charles Howell, good course history, or Brendan Steele, good form. Who are you picking?
Oh, Charles Howell. My God, I have so much Charles Howell interest this entire week. It's disturbing. He's under 7K. You got to find some guys under 7K you like. I'm just holding to this Charles Howell being a guy who's just solid off the tee here. I grouped a lot of my data for this week. You know, Keith Mitchell is another guy that we'll get to here at 6,800. But I'm getting to a lot of these dudes that are better off the tee. Even Taylor Pendrith, you know, coming off of, obviously.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming off of a week where, I mean, he should have won, right? Like that.
Three shot lead going into Sunday. All he needed to do is shoot even par and he wins a tournament. Yeah. Not that easy.
So
is it?
I think.
Not that easy, is it?
Yeah. Golf is hard, man. Golf is really, really hard. It's easy until it's hard and then it's easy again, then it's hard again. So Taylor Pendrith, throwing him in that group. I think a lot of these guys who are solid off the tee, you talk about the hazards, you talk about the penal nature of this golf course. If you're in play, you're going to make birdies. If you're not, you're not, and you're going to pack your bags or enjoy the rest of your weekend at the lovely resort. Taylor Pendrith in that grouping, Charles Howell III, so much interest in him, 6,900. Also really good around the green. His irons have been bad over the course of the last couple months, and there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He lost 3.1 strokes gain approach at the Shriners, 0.8 at the Fortinet, missed the cut there. But I think we've known him to be a better ball striker than that all around. So I'm going to just kind of side with who I think he can be here in this spot. So 6,900, one of my favorite plays under 7K.
Battle of the T22s last week for this next grouping. Thomas Dietrich and Steven Yeager both ended up in that position. Both played pretty good. You just mentioned if you keep the ball in play, you're going to make birdies. So if Yeager can keep it on the planet off the tee, I'd assume you're picking him over Dietrich this week.
Who and who with Dietrich?
Dietrich and Yeager.
Yeager, yeah. I mean, put your hands up in the Yeager, Yeager. We did that last time. It worked. It worked. It did. He showed up.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah, we're gonna go Yeager bombing.
Cheaper. Okay.
Yeah, it's time to go Yeager bombing a little bit. 6,800. I'm just fine firing up a little bit there. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. He finally got a top 20 here. And we've been looking at that for this entire season. He had all the talk coming in off of his Korn Ferry Tour season. And I think it should have been around the green specialist. That is what he does. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the deal. I'm kind of thinking, say that again.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll be the strongest skill set needed to succeed here, but if he keeps the ball in play and his irons are okay and he gets hot on the green, he can certainly compete here.
Okay. Yeah. Well then let's fire him up. I'm happy to fire it up. This is his sounding board. You're my sounding board to talk through these things because I've played him and all I've gotten is missed cuts. I did not play him last week the way that I should have. I think I only had like 10% or something. And I think that was probably a mistake. Somebody that I've been high on and I kind of got a little timid on it. 20th, obviously, it didn't go out and necessarily burn me or anything, but I think he's somebody who has upside for more. So I think in this range, yeah, I'm happy to go to his direction as well. But Keith Mitchell, the apple of my eye in this range.
Okay. He was underneath the next two guys I want to bring up. I'm a Keith Mitchell guy. I like him. I learned about him first at the Valspar after he Monday qualified. I've probably mentioned that a couple of times. I like following him. I like the way he plays. But the two guys that are above him that I wanted to mention, let's say the battle of the three rounders, Migliozzi and Higo were both playing very well last week. Both were inside the top 10 in the third round on Saturday and both finished in a tee for 57 or something garbage like that. So can you get to either one based on three rounds last week?
I can get to a little bit of Guido.
Okay.
But he's going to be a little popular. I think he's probably the guy that I disagree with our ownership on the absolute most. He's at 0.7%. That seems impossible.
No, he won't be.
DFS, he's going to be like 8-10% minimum. That's just what he is every single week. But I suppose there's some other guys to be kind of rostering in this range as well. Patton Kizzire, I'm a mark for. I don't suggest. He has good course history, and he's just the guy that in the Ben Rossa section of guys that I'm playing that you shouldn't, I would probably put him as my guy that I'm playing that you shouldn't, because I don't feel any confident about it. Garrett Hago, 6,700 for him. He won that one tournament for me, the Palmetto, and that was kind of the best that version that I'm going to get of him. I'm just going to take my win from that, from betting him in that golf tournament, and probably never bet him again until I start seeing some of this form start to regress towards the mean. What are you doing with him?
Yeah, well, we started to see that form last week come back a little bit at Bermuda. We saw him hang around the leaderboard the first couple of rounds, actually. He was, in first at one point, actually, in the second round. We know that the top-end form is there. The kid's 21 years old. He's going to go through spurts. He's not a top-end talent like, I'll say comparably, Sungjae and Joaquin Neiman, both guys that are 23, 24 years old. Nowhere near Morikawa or Wolf or Hovland, in my opinion, but a good up-and-coming talent that, I could see being a fixture on the PGA Tour, at least for some time.
I'm hoping for him, but right now I can't do it.
Yeah, I would rather play than these next four guys. As we've got 4 minutes left, I do want to get to some of them. Chris Kirk, Vincent Whaley, Graham McDowell, Nate Lashley. Outside of McDowell, the other three have really good stats recently. Whaley, 3 top 10s in the last 12 weeks. Kirk is 3 for 3 in cuts made new season, as is Nate Lashley, believe it or not. So how about those four names? Can you get to one of them? And can you get to any of them in your main lineup? Can you really open it up, put in these two 10K studs?
I had Graham McDowell in my main lineup last week after I talked with Ben about him. And that worked out well.
It did.
Well, you know who didn't work out well, Jason?
Uh-oh.
Phil Hostler, our boy.
Why'd you do this to me? I thought we could go off show without talking about it, but boy, oh boy, did he ruin every good lineup I had.
Yeah. I had 5 of 6 in every main lineup.
Oh, God.
It was him and who was the other dunce cap that I rostered. I can't even remember. I just quit looking. When you're at 5 of 6,
basically
you just kind
scored
of,
nothing, basically missed the cut. So
yeah.
Probably,
oh, I had him in the main. Yeah. So 5 of 6 with an asterisk, more like 4.5 guys that I rostered over the course of last week. I love Darren Rye, but I digress. At this range, yeah, I think that you're taking some dart shots. Graham McDowell, I can just kind of pin to that 12th, another seaside course, another kind of this might be something where this can just be his type of golf course where you roster him, and then you just never roster him anywhere else.
JJ Spawn in that same category. Yes. T7 last week, coming in hot.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think in high stakes, I think he's somebody that people might be clicking on. I don't know. This would be like a box score play. I mean, not that Graham McDowell isn't, but Graham McDowell, I thought that there were some strong narratives that Ben and that you were kind of pinning to when we discussed about him a little bit, and Ben really kind of sold me on him. And I don't really think JJ Spawn, I want to kind of go that direction, because obviously in micro stakes and in other stuff, like you're looking at him being somebody you could get a lot of exposure to and be in a really good spot. If this is kind of the way
the
that he's,
I
know, I just can't do it. I probably am not going to do it. I'm not going to even lie to the people.
Bryce Garnett has good course history. If you don't want to play him, tell me somebody else we haven't mentioned under 6,700 to end our show. And of course, for more picks, more strategy, check out Live Before Lock, you and Ben, tomorrow evening, I think, right around the same time as this. So,
Sir.
Bryce Garnett, and then your final pick, and we'll get on out of here.
Bryce Garnett, good golfer. Probably going to get to a little bit of him again. Looking at some of his long-term stats, it's not as egregious as you would think. He's been really, really bad in the fall swing, but maybe he can find a little bit of something here with the putter. It's been bad, lost over a stroke and a half in now 3 of his last 4. Just been a missed cut fest for him. But we've seen him play well at the Traveler, seen him play well at the 3M, seen him play well in some of these other spots where. I think that there is some upside there. The Kraus Punta Cana top 10. I think that there's more to draw from that than there is anywhere else from the golf course perspective. So I think that that's a sharp call. My guy that I talked about, I know you love this play too, so I don't think I'm surprising anybody. Trey Molinex. I'm going to have a lot of Trey Molinex this week. I think he's just a player that I want to see more of the Trey Molinex. You don't like that play. I'm seeing it in your face.
No,
oh,
I do.
You do. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'm fine with it. I have no problem with it. I'll have some myself. For sure. All right. So that's going to do it here. Remember, the deeper dive is coming up after us. We've got the Houston Open. We've got the RSM Classic. Maybe we'll do something for the Hero Word Challenge. I don't know how we can talk about 11 golfers for an hour, so probably not. But you still got us for the next 2 weeks. So until then, everybody, let's go out on some sweet tunes played by Eric via James Taylor. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.